holding on Tzedek Aleph, Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We've been talking about the what happens if a woman has eidos that her husband is dead, and then she remarries, and then her husband turns up. So we had all the different consequences. To a certain extent, it depends whether there was one or two eidim. But the last thing we said was that even if there were two eidim, the fact is we can't allow her to go back to her first husband and say my havel olameba, because we say that we have all these examples where we don't say that. So Amar Rav Ashi, well, my havel olameba means what could she have done? Do you want? Like, what do you want from her? Isn't it a case of oiness? We say that there still is. She didn't see, even with two adim, she didn't have to get married, and therefore, so fine. Maybe we don't apply all the consequences that we said in the Mishnah, but still, to allow her to return to her first husband and resume that not. So Amar Rav Ashi, Kol Aloi Chashinan. So Rav Ashi says, now we're not concerned about a coil. When there's just a rumor that her husband is alive, but he's not actually here with his adim, then we're not worried about that. So the Gemara asks, hey Kola, what kind of rumor are we talking about? Do we mean after she got remarried, then there's rumors that her husband is still alive? You don't need Rav Ashi to be telling us that. Rav Ashi already told us that in a previous case. Rav Ashi says a general rule that any rumor like that that takes place after the Nisuin, then we're not worried about it. Rashi gives an example. Let's say a Kohen married a woman, and afterwards there's rumors that she's a Grusha or a Zoyna. So then we ignore it. Tosfos discusses that actually now there could be cases where we do pay attention to a coil after Nisuin. What we mean over here, we don't pay attention, is where the coil is that to begin with, the marriage was no good because, for example, a Kohen and a Grusha. Tosfos discusses if, let's say, for example, there's a coil that she was Mizana during the Nisuin, then maybe that would have a certain validity. But Tosfos discusses maybe not necessarily. Anyway, so Rav Ashi already says that rule, so he doesn't need to repeat it again over here. So the answer is no. Maud tema, because the reason why Rav Ashi needed to say it in this particular case is because otherwise you would have thought, since she came to Beis Din, v'sharinan, and we allowed her to get married, kekola dekami nisuin dami, maybe we should consider that the equivalent of a koil of before nisuin. In other words, the fact that she had to come to Beis Din in the first place, showing that there existed a suffix. So it's one thing, for example, a Kohen marries a woman and then there's rumors going around that she's a Grusha. There was no suffix beforehand. Now, as a result of the Kohen, you have the suffix. So therefore, Rav Ashi is telling us, don't worry about it. But here, you had a suffix from beforehand. That's why she had to come to Beis Din after all in the first place. So maybe we should consider it like the equivalent of a Kohen before Nisuin, the Titzar, and therefore she should be Osir. Kamash Mulan, therefore Rav Ashi is telling us that we don't have to worry about that. Now, then the question is, so why didn't Rav Ashi say it in our case, and we'll learn from it to all the other cases? So the Ritva answer is because here you might say, since she came to Beis Din, then maybe Beis Din wants to strengthen their statement. They want to back up their statement, because otherwise we're going to say, Imkein ma koyach Beis Din yafa, and say that therefore koil is not going to be enough to undo it. That wouldn't necessarily prove in a case where no Beis Din was needed in the first place. For example, a Kohen married a woman and now there's rumors that she's a Grusha. Therefore, you need both of statements of Rav Ashi to make it clear that in either case, whether Beis Din was involved or not, then we don't pay any attention to a koil. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, Nisus api based in Tetzin Chuba. We said in the Mishnah that if she got married because with permission of Beis Din, meaning that there was only one aid, so we said she does have to get divorced. On the other hand, we said she's potter from a korban. Vice versa, though, if she had gotten married without permission of Beis Din, meaning if there were two aidim to begin with, then she would be chayiv in a korban because she didn't depend on Beis Din. So the Gemara says, Omer Ze'iri, less of a masnissin. Ze'iri says, our Mishnah is not valid, meaning that the din in our Mishnah about the korban is not valid. Either way, she's going to have to bring a korban, midatoni be medrasha. because it contradicts something that we learn in a braisa that was learned in the Beis Medrash. Now, normally we have a Mishnah versus a braisa, usually accept the Mishnah, but here where the braisa was taught in the Beis Medrash, that shows, says the Ritva, that it means that it was a very well accepted and that it was a very well accepted braisa, and therefore that, and since it contradicts the Mishnah, then it means the halacha must be like that. The Tony Bay Medrash, we learn in a braisa that was learned in the Beis Medrash. Now we know like this. There's a concept that a good part of Masechta Hodias deals with the situation where Beis Din Paskin halacha wrongly and most of the people follow them. You have various criteria involved. Among it does have to be something that involves a chatas b'shergeg or koris b'mezid, which fine eishes ish is one of them. But you have a number of other criteria. When those criteria are met, then the individuals who did the Avera are not bringing their own korban. Instead, the Beis Din is bringing a par helam dovah shel tzibur. So now Ze'iri says that in the Beis Medrash, they learned a braisa that said, for example, Hodu Beis Din sheshaka chama. Suppose, for example, that Beis Din had paskin, that the sun had set, and therefore that you were allowed to do malacha, or v'soif zorcha, and later on it turned out that they were mistaken and the sun is still shining. Ein zu hora ela tos. That's not called a hora, such that they'd be bringing a par helam dovah shel tzibur. That is called a tos. In other words, when do we say that there's a par helam dovah shel tzibur if Beis Din made a mistake and paskin something based on shikul adas or based on logic? So, for example, let's say they thought that a certain kind of malacha is mutter on Shabbos, and it turns out that it's not. But here, where they thought that it's not Shabbos at all, they thought that a fact had changed, and the fact turned out to be different. It's still daylight. That's not called a hurrah. So therefore, even if the majority of the Jewish people went and did malacha at that time, they still wouldn't be bringing a par helam davar shel tzibur, says Ze'iri's braisa. They would just be bringing individual chatois for every person. We're not talking that usually Beis Din would notify people, but let's say, for example, imagine it was during one of the Shodesh Regalim, and most of the people are in Yerushalayim, and then one Shabbos, it's cloudy or whatever, or who knows what, and then Beis Din mistakenly says that Shabbos is over. Applying that to our case over here, Ze'iri says that in our case, it's also a tos in fact. The Beis Din thought that this husband, that the Beis Din, that paskin, that this woman is allowed to be married, thought that the husband was dead. Turns out that he's not. Therefore, Ze'iri says it's considered a tos. So even if we had all the other criteria for par helam davar shel tzibur, we still wouldn't say that. We'd still say everybody brings their own chatas. So when our Mishnah says that it depends whether she got permission from Beis Din to remarry or not, that depends whether she brings a korban or not. Ze'iri says nothing doing. Rab Nachman says, no, it is considered an actual hayra. It is considered a psak of Beis Din rather than a mistake. In other words, therefore, so there would be a par halam davar shel tzibur. So therefore, our Mishnah is correct, says Rab Nachman. If they paskin for her that she's allowed to be married and then her husband showed up, then in fact she would, she wouldn't be bringing a korban.
When it says Rab Nachman's
stam, is Rab Nachman's stam is Rab Nachman Yaakov. Yeah. Amar Rab Nachman, teda de hayrahi. You can see that it is considered a hayrah. In other words, the question kind of comes down to, Rashi says, do we look at it that they're relying strictly on the aide who came and said that her husband is dead, or are they relying on their shikul hadas? Are they relying on their total logic to allow her? So Rab Nachman says they're not only relying on the aid, in which case we can say the aid misled them, but rather we can say they're actually relying on their shikul adas, whether to accept that aid. After all, in most of the Torah, we don't accept one aid. Here we're saying we do believe one aid. My timer, lav mishum de hayrah. Evidently, because it has the status of a hayrah. So in other words, what happened when, for example, if they were to paskin, so Rashi gives the typical example with par helam davar shel tzibur, for example, if they were matir a certain kind of chelev, it means that they forgot that this kind, it says black letter law in the Torah that it's aser, and they use their shikul adas, they use some kind of Torah-based logic to think that it's mutter. Here also, they're basing themselves on their own das, on the idea of isha daiko mitzvah, and it turns out that she wasn't medayik enough. So therefore, so that's not considered a mistake in the facts. That's considered a mistake in Shikul Adas, says Rav Nachman. Omar Rava, and Rava, who himself was a Talmud of Rav Nachman, says, the logic is, Shikul Adas would mean, therefore, that if she will, that would mean, therefore, that it's the onus is on Beis Din rather than on her. Therefore, she's not bringing her own individual carbon. If we have the various criteria that are needed in order for there to be a power here on the Avishot Zibur, then they're going to be the ones bringing it rather than she individually.
So she would, however, bring the carbon.
She would bring the carbon if you didn't have the various other criteria. If you, you know, you still have to have that most of the Jewish people follow this heter and still. According to Zairi, she's bringing the carbon regardless.
Both places,
right.
So according to both of them, she brings the carbon when she's the all, when she is relying on when it's 1A.
When it's one, no, that's what we're saying. When there's two Adim, then okay, so both of them agree that when there's two Adim, she brings the carbon, because then she's not relying on Beis Din. When there's one aid, necessarily she's relying on Beis Din. Zairi says she's still bringing her own individual carbon anyway. Rav Nachman says she's not.
And Zairi is saying that because...
Zairi is saying because of a braisa. Because of a braisa that says that this is a toast.
That's
not considered a mistake in Shikul Adas, which is the kind of thing that Beis Din would bring a parahelam davar shal tzibur for. It's a toast. It's a mistake.
This particular thing about saying that 1/8 isn't enough.
No.
It's not Shikul Adas.
No. Zairi is saying that the fact that they're relying on that 1/8, and that 1/8 misled them. Therefore, that's not called Shikul Adas. That's called a toast. Rav Nachman counters and says that no, the very fact that they're accepting only one aid shows that they're relying on Shikul Adas. They're relying on total logic of Isha Daiko Minseva, and it turns out that she wasn't Medayik enough, but that's an example of Shikul Adas. That's the equivalent of saying a certain kind of chaylev is mutter, having forgotten that the Torah says it's osir, and then using logic to determine that it's mutter. Yeah.
Seems that according to Rav Nachman, Daiko Minseva would be something that they could override.
Not something that's going to override, but something that they... Yeah, well, that they, they're using that for Shikul Adas.
Okay.
Yeah. So Omar Rava, Teda de Tos, who on the other hand, Rava says you can show, like Zairi says, not like Rav Nachman, that it is considered a Tos. De Ilu Hodu based in Bechelev of Adam Lahatera. Suppose that Beis Din had paskin about a certain kind of chelev or a certain kind of blood that it's mutter, without giving a solid reason for it. Vahodu Chazu Taimel Isura. Later on, they found reason to say after all that it's osir. Ki Hadri Va'ami Lahatera. If that same Beis Din later on said after all that's mutter again without giving a solid reason, we wouldn't pay any attention to what they're saying, because we would say that their later reason is evidently not any stronger than their first one. So now in our case, if one aid comes and says her husband is dead, we're allowing her to remarry. Also trey asarna. Now when two aidim come and contradict them, then we ask her, because two aidim beats one. And yet when one more aid comes, suppose that another aid comes and says that he died now. So before the original aid came and said that he died, that the original aid came and said that he died last week. Now, two aidim came and said that no, at that time he was still alive. Now another aid comes and says that actually now he just died today, let's say. So now, now we would allow her to get married. My time, Alav Nishum de Torosu. Evidently, because the original aid misled us, and therefore that's considered a toast. Why do we believe the second one? Because he's coming with new information. As opposed to, if we were to say, says Rava, that it's a Hayra, then once we found reason, if we said it's a matter of Hayra, once we found reason to believe the two and to say that he's still alive, and obviously that means we made a mistake the first time, why would we accept a new aid and say, after all, we're going back to the idea of Isha Daiko Minseva when we already found this time that didn't work? So obviously, Rava says, and the fact is, in a case like that, we would accept it, showing, therefore, that we're not relying on Shikul Adas, we're relying on facts and the facts, and we were misled on the facts. Therefore, it's Toast rather than Shikul Adas. The Rashba brings over here a different explanation on it, that it's all, that that And so that what does he say? That it's not just a matter of whether they saw, we're saying over here, Rashi says they saw reason and then they changed their mind and then they changed their mind back. We could, you know what, I don't remember what he says, so never mind. But let's go on. If I remember it, I'll say it. Okay. So we see that it's a toast rather than shikul adas, and therefore, in the case of toast, then we don't say that the beis din brings a korban. We say that each individual who did it, in this case, the individual woman is gonna and her new husband are gonna have to bring a korban. Yeah. So the Gemara says, v'af Rabbi Eliezer suffered a toast. Now we see that Rabbi Eliezer also holds that it's considered a toast. Netanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yikav Adina Sahor V'Tobi Chatas Shmeina. Rabbi Eliezer says, let the din pierce through the mountain. In other words, we're talking about even though she remarried based on Beis Din's permission, we don't say that it's considered that she had Beis Din's permission, therefore she's potter from a korban. We go according to the depth of the halacha, and we say we consider it a toast, because you relied on the aid, V'Tobi Chatas Shmeina, so she has to bring a fat chatas, meaning she has to bring a chatas of her own. So the Gemara says, where do we see from that that he says anything about, it being a toast? Iyamet b'shlemu the tosu. If you say that it's considered a toast, mishamachi masti a korban, that explains why she has to bring a korban. Ela iyamet d'orayi. But if you say that Rabbi Eliezer considers it a horah, and when Beis Din makes a mistake in horah, in shikul adas, then they're the ones who bring a korban. So if you look at it that way, am I master korban? Why would you bring a korban? After all, as we already established, when you're relying on Beis Din's horah, then you bring a korban. The fact that Rabbi Eliezer is clearly saying she has to bring a korban shows that he doesn't consider it horah. So the Gemara says that's not a proof. The Duma Kasavar Rabbi Eliezer Yochid Shalsa by Ross Beis Din Chaya. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer holds differently. All this time we've been saying that if you follow Beis Din's Horah, then you're potter from a korban. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that concept. And he says that even if you follow Beis Din's Horah, you're still chayav, an individual korban. The answer is, in that case, Im Kain, my yikav adina sahar. Then why would he be using the expression yikav adina sahar? The fact that he uses that expression means if you don't look carefully into it, on the face of it, you would say that she should be potter. And only once you analyze it and realize this isn't a hurrah, this is a toast, then she would bring a korban. That implies that he's saying that the reason why she's potter, not because in general a person who follows based in hurrah, that she's chayev. Not because in general when a person follows based in hurrah, he's chayev, but because in this specific case, it's not considered a hurrah, it's considered a toast. And so that's what we remain with when they made a mistake in the facts, as in this case, then it's considered a toast, like Zairi said, and like Rava says, and like Rabbi Eliezer says, and therefore in that case, she's always bringing the korban regardless of whether she had Beis Din's permission or not.
No, that's interesting because for a while we thought that there was a difference.
So we said the Mishnah had said there's a difference, and then Reb Nachman argued there might be a difference, but Rava disproved that. We said Zairi says there's a brisa to that effect, and we see Rabbi Eliezer also holds that. Yeah. Okay. Next. We said in the Mishnah, Haruah Beis Din Lehinaseh Chola. We said in the last part of the Mishnah that if Beis Din gave her permission to remarry, and instead of getting remarried, she went and kilkala, she went and messed up, then we say she's chayiv in a korban, because then regardless, she's not following Beis Din's Torah. So my kilkala, what do we mean by kilkala in that regard? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Lozo Omer Zinsa. It means she was mezana. So she didn't get married. She went and was mezana with a man. So now when her husband turns up, then we say she has to bring a chatas for the fact that she was an Eishes Ish and was mezana. What? She didn't get married, right? Rabbi Yochanan Omer Amon al Kohen Gadol Grusha v'chalutz al Kohen Hei. Rabbi Yechanan says it means she did get married, but she got married in a way that's also. She's, let's say, a grusha from a previous marriage, and now she went and married a kohen. Oh, she's an amona from a previous marriage, and she went and married a kohen gadol, or grusha, or chalutza, and she went and married a kohen head. So the Gemara says, Manda omazinsa, Rabbi Lozo, who says that it means that she was mezana, kolshik, and amona, a kohen gadol. He says, all the more so, if she was an almona and married a kohen gadol, because also they weren't matter her, they were matter her to get married, but only a marriage that's valid up yalocha, not that. Manda omer almona kohen gadol avol zin saloi. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan would say that no, if she's mezana, we would not make her bring a korban. my timer. Why not? The Umra, because she can in effect say, Atun hu deshavitin pnuya. It's you who made me a pnuya. In other words, in effect, I am sort of basing myself on your psak. You said that I can consider my husband to be dead. Well, once I am, well, then I'm a pnuya. I'm an unmarried woman, and therefore, there's not such a severe issur if I'm mezaneh. So therefore, so in a certain sense, you could say that she was following what Beis Din said. Not obviously that she should be mezaneh, but in the sense that she deduced it from the fact that they're telling her that she's a pnuya. So the Gemara says, Tanya kavasei de Rabbi Yechanan. Now, we learn a braisa like Rabbi Yechanan's version, that kilkala means that she did a marriage, but one which is osur. A braisa says, Harua Beis Din lehinase, if Beis Din gave her permission to remarry, v'hocha v'kilkala, and she went and kilkala, she messed up, and what does kilkala mean? K'goin amon l'kohen gadol, grusha v'cholotz l'kohen hedyet. Now, Rabbi Lazar says later on, when it turns out that her husband is alive, she's going to have to bring a korban for every individual bia. Rabbi Lazar learns, or actually refers to a Gemara in Chrysos, where Rabbi Lazar learns that when a man and woman have relations that are also that they're chayev achatas for every individual bia. He learns it over there in Chrysos from Sukkot over there. So the same would be over here. In other words, the point is, even though it's all behelam echad, because all the time that she was married to this guy, she didn't know that her husband is alive. She knew that she's an almana l'kohen gadol. Fine, she knew she's being over on a lav for that. But a lav, a regular lav without kores, you don't bring a chatas for. But now when it turns out her husband was alive, and therefore all this time, every bia that they were having was an isser kares, so Rabbi Lazar says, even though it was all behelam echad, they still have to bring individual, she still has to bring an individual chakas for each one. V'chamim korban echad ala kol, v'cham say it's enough to bring one korban for it all, because it was all behelam echad. Umoidim chachamim l'Rabbi Lazar, on the other hand, the chachamim do agree with Rabbi Lazar, she misses l'chamisha b'nei Adam, that if she got married one after another to five different men, so she was told her husband is dead, and she married Reuven, and then Reuven died or divorced her, and she married Shimon, and the same thing with Levi, and so on and so forth. Shechayevis b'korban al kol achad b'achad, then yes, she would be chayev one korban for every individual marriage, hoyov gufin muchlokin, because the bodies are separate, and then that would be the equivalent, for example, of having relations, let's say, with five nidus, or behelam echad, where the person is still chayev five chataras.
They couldn't have died because you can't marry
someone. Fine, no, you have cases of katla, even the katlanis, you have certain exceptions to that, and besides which we could be talking about if she was over and married them. The point is, whatever, yeah, the point is that there were multiple marriages over here.
But she could have divorced
them, too. Yeah, whatever. Okay, so the point is, in other words, so we see that Braisa goes like Rabbi Yechanan. Now, an interesting point, though, is that the Rambam actually paskins like Rabbi Lazar, that we're talking about if she was Mizana. And so there's the question why, if we seem to have supported Rabbi Yechanan with a Braisa, and there's also the question anyway that the Rambam himself holds that if a pnuya is mezana, it's also an isur lav. So in that case, what's the difference between that and amon l'kohen gadol and so forth? Either way, there's an isur lav. So the Oruch HaNer discusses it over here and says the Rambam may hold actually that if a pnuya has relations with one guy, then it's not enough to make it an isur lav. Only if she's mafgiratzma, only if she's with multiple different men, then we would say, well, therefore, so we have the Bryce that we just mentioned over here, talks about which is married to multiple men, one after the other. So then we could be talking about that, then we could be talking about that she's chayev, that she's chayev achatas for each individual one. But not if she were to be with only one guy, not necessarily would we consider that an isur lav, and therefore the result is that even though we seem to have said that kilkala means almana l'kohen gadol, etc., also we have to keep in mind, we just said before that we don't accept what our Mishnah distinguishes between whether she's tola b'beis din or not. So that also factors into it. This discussion of whether she's tola b'beis din or not is not really relevant la halacha, because la halacha we don't care whether she was tola b'beis din or not. So therefore, that leaves the Rambam free to paskin like Rabbi Lazar, after all, that only if zinsa, then we would say that we said both zinsa and kolshekin. We said amon l'kohen gadol, etc. Yeah. So either way, she'd be bringing a chatas, but only we would only say that there was a lav. We would only say that there was a lav involved in this news only if it was with multiple men, but not if it was just one. That's the gist of what the Aruch HaNer discusses over here. Okay. Mishnah says, Ha'isha shaholach baila ubna l'bdinas ayam. Suppose that a woman's husband and son went overseas. Ubov amrul mes bailach ba'achakach mes b'nech. They tell her that your husband died and then your son died. Now, if that's correct, then it means she's potter from Yibum, because we learned before that as long as the child was alive at the time when the husband died, we don't care what happens afterwards. We learned at the end of the previous parak, Duracher Darchei Noyam, we're not going to undo things and we're not going to rewind things and say because the child is now dead and therefore it turns out that her husband has no living descendants, then therefore she should need Chalitza or Yibum. We don't do that. But now the problem is, the Nisis, she got married on that basis. Then they tell her it was actually the other way around. The son died first, meaning that she was chayev and yibum, or chalitza. So now, Tetze, she has to divorce her current husband, Vlad Rishon v'Achron Mamzer. The first and last child are Mamzer. We'll see in the Gemara, what Rishon and Achron mean. So her children from him are mamzer. Now, that is only, we're going to say that that's only according to the Bakiva, that yesh mamzer mechai v'lavim. Because according to the Chachamim, that remember that a Yevama should marry outside the family, Yevama Lashuk, is an Isur Lav. So therefore, an Isur Lav, according to the Chachamim, doesn't produce a mamzer. But according to the Bakiva, it does. So when we say Avlad Rishon v'Achron Mamzer, we mean specifically according to the Bakiva. We're going to see in the Gemara about my Rishon and my Achron. We're going to discuss that. There are some poskim who learn that, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that even if we say that the child is not necessarily a mamzer d'oraisa, because we don't hold like Rabbi Akiva, he may still be a mamzer d'rabbanan. Because we're going to discuss in the Gemara whether kiddushin are tofus by yivama or not, by yivama l'shuk. Whether kedushin are even within the Chachamim's opinion, that we're going to see a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether kedushin are tofus by Yevama Lashuk, and if they're not, then the child may well be considered a mamzer d'rabban. So both opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch: one that the child is kosher, and one that then continues the Mishnah. Omrula mes b'neich va'achakach mes b'aylich. Now, on the other hand, if they tell her that your son died and then your husband died, v'nisyadna, and therefore she does yibum, because she figures she's required to do yibum in that case, because the child died while her husband was still alive, v'achakach omru achilu fayu advarim, and then they tell her it was the other way around, tetze, then also she has to get divorced, v'avlad rishon v'achron mamzer, then the child is a mamzer regardless, then there's no question, d'oraisa, it's a mamzer, because now it's eishes och, now it's a brother's wife, where there's no mitzvah of yibum, and that's definitely an isur kares. And everybody agrees that that would produce a mamzer. Continues the Mishnah. Omru la mes bailech v'nisis. What if they tell her your husband died? She remarried. V'achakach omru la kayim haya umes. This is you asking me about this the other day. Then they told her he was alive at the time when you got married, but now he's dead. She still has to get divorced from the new husband. Va'avlad rishon mamzer, the first child, meaning any child that she had while the husband was still alive, is a mamzer. Va'achron ain't a mamzer, the later one is not a mamzer. And again, there also you have the question of whether maybe he's a mamzer d'rabbanan. If they told her your husband died and she was only in the Skadish, she didn't yet go through with the Nisuin, and then her husband comes, then she's allowed to return to him. And we learned the other day, the reason is because when there was only Kiddushin, she didn't yet do an Aveira, so therefore we don't have to penalize her. And we also say we're not worried that people are going to think that Kiddushin can be dissolved without a get, because since there was only Kiddushin, people are going to figure that it was probably just Al Tanai or something. And then that it was probably just Al Tanai, and the Tanai didn't come true. And therefore, or as Tosfos learned over there, they're going to realize the very fact that she accepted Kiddushin was on the assumption that her husband is dead. And it turns out he's not. So therefore, we don't have to penalize her. And we're not worried that people are going to mistakenly think, So now, even if the second husband gives her a get, he doesn't thereby pass her from kahuna. Because after all, she's not married to him. Yeah, so it's the first husband. It's the first husband was a Kohen, but also it means, in other words, let's say, for example, that the second husband gives her a get, she returns to her first husband. Let's say after that he dies, then she'd still be allowed to marry a Kohen. As zu dorash Rebbe Loza ben Masya daushin a posik to this effect. When the posik says v'isha grusha me'isha, the posik says that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a woman divorced from her husband. Why does it have to say me'isha? It means v'loy me'isha, in isha, not if she's divorced from a man who's not her husband. The second one is not her husband because she's still married to the first one. Therefore, the posik is implying that that get doesn't pass over her from Corona, which is a point that we're going to take back up in the Gemara on Daf Tzadik Daven. So the Gemara starts off. My Rishon and my Achron. What do we mean over here when we said in the Mishnah Rishon and Achron? What are we talking about? Ilema Rishon lifnei Shmur va'Achron la'achas Shmur. Do we mean, so we're talking about the first case of the Mishnah where she thought that she's allowed to marry Yevama Lashuk because her husband died before her son, and then it turns out they told her the other way around. So we said Teitzei v'Avlad Rishon v'Achron Mamzer, which again we said a Mamzer according to Rabbi Akiva. So what do we mean by Rishon and Achron? Ilema Rishon lifnei Shmur v'Achron la'achas Shmur. Do we mean the Rishon is the one who was born before she heard what the correct order was, and Achron means any child who was conceived and born after the Shmur? Well, then why do you have to say that? Listen, you have Vlad Mamzer. Just say flat out the child is a Mamzer, because you're not. There's no distinction. Either way, obviously, any child who was born before or after, it doesn't matter. The point is, the fact was that she needed Yibum, and that she was a Yevama Lashuk without having had Chalitza or Yibum, and whatever applies to the first child is going to apply to the second child. Why even bother mentioning Rishon and Achron? The answer is Mishum de Kaboy the Misni Sefer. The reason is because in the Sefer, in the third part of the Mishnah, you have to make that distinction. We said Omrul Mes Bailach Menisis, where we said that if they told her your husband died and she remarried, Ba'achakach Omrul Kaim Hayo Mes, and they told her afterwards he was alive at the time, he died only later, Harishin Mamzer, Ba'achron Eni Mamzer, there we have to distinguish between the first and the last, because only the earlier children are going to be mamzerim. The later ones who were conceived and born after the husband died are not mamzerim anymore. So therefore, Tananami Reshid Rishon v'Achron Mamzer. Therefore, in the Reshid, it also mentions that Rishon and Achron Mamzer. It also mentions the words Rishon and Achron. But you're right, in the Reshid, it really makes no difference. But again, at least in the Sefer, there are Rishonim who learn that the child at least is going to be a Mamzer Drabon. Because since we say that she has to divorce the second husband, even though the first husband is dead, we have evidence that he's dead, we still require her to divorce the second husband, because when she married him, it was also. So therefore, there are Rishonim who learn that the child is in fact a Mamzer Derabanan. Okay. The Gemara says Tanan Rabanan, Zudevei Rav Akiva, all of this that we said in the Mishnah, that in the case of a Yevama Lashuk, that the child is a mamzer, and we said the Rishon and Achron, it doesn't really matter, that would be a point to Rabbi Akiva. Show your ima in Kiddushin Tofsin b'chai v'lavin, where Rabbi Akiva says that Kiddushin don't take effect with chai v'lavin, and the Yivam al-Ashuk is a chai, is an isu lav, because the pasuk says, lo'siya ish ha-samei, sachutza l'ish zar. Abo chachamim ein mamzer mi'yivamah. But the chacham said there's no mamzer from a yivam. So therefore, the child's not a mamzer. So the Gemara says, v'leima ein mamzer m'chai v'lavin. Why does the Tana use the expression Yivama? Why does he say there's no mamzer from Chai V'Lavin? Yivama is only one example of Chai V'Lavin. The answer is Hai Tana Hach Tana Rabbi Akiva, because the Chachamim in this Braisa is actually none other than the Tana who also agrees with Rabbi Akiva partially, but he says the Omer Mechai V'Lavin Desheir Havim Mamzer Mechai V'Lavin Grady Lo Havim Mamzer. He says I agree with Rabbi Akiva's basic point that an Isur Lav can produce a mamzer. However, these chachamim say, within Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that would only apply to chai v'lavim d'she'er, only lavim that involves close relatives. So for example, we're going to learn in the next perek that, for example, if a man had relations with a woman outside of marriage, and then according to Rabbi Yehuda, his son is also by an isur lav to marry this woman. So now Rabbi Akiva would be saying that's an Isur Lav that has to do with close relationship, and therefore we would say that she is also that. Therefore, we would say that if the son were to marry her, then he would be then because he's over on an Isur Lav, and it's an Isur Lav of she'er, of close relationship. Therefore, the child would be a mamzer. But this Tana holds that if it's an Isur Lab, but there's no She'er involved, then not. A Yuvam Lashuk, there's no She'er. He's not also to marry her because she's closely related to him. He's also to marry her because she's a Yuvama and she needs Yibur Mechalitza. Therefore, this Tana holds that he says, in other words, generally by Chayvei Lavan, yes, there would be a Mamzer. But here, because it's not a Lav to She'er, then therefore not. But in fact, there would be other Chachamim, as we learned previously in our Masechta, who would say that you're right. Across the board, there's never a Mamzer from Chayvei Lavan and all, only from Chayvei Krisis. Okay. The Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Minayin she'en kedushin tofes in the yavama. How do we know that kedushin do not take effect by a yavama? Now Tosfos says we mean even according to the chachamim, who say that it won't produce a mamzer. But how do we know that kedushin aren't tofes? Shenemar loisia eishes hamesa chutzal leishzor. The pasuk says the wife of the mess shall not go out, shall not be tia, which is the usual expression for kedushin. To the outside, to an unrelated man. Meaning, Rav is saying the word loisia is not necessarily a lav; it's actually a statement of fact. She will not be. In other words, kedushin are not toifas. So loiteheba havoya lazar. It means that no havoya, no kedushin with a zar is possible. Shmuel says because of our poverty, meaning because we don't know how to explain a pasuk, then therefore tzricha get. Therefore, she requires a get. In other words, is the pasuk telling us a lav, or is it telling us she shall not, or is it telling us a statement of fact? She cannot. The Rambam points out, actually, in the Shoshim of Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam points out that you have various places like that. You have some places where the Torah says a statement with loy, and you're meant to understand it's not an Easter, it's a statement of negation. This does not apply. So you have to be able to distinguish between them. So Rav is saying that's what it means, statement of negation. Shmuel is saying that no, it's a statement. It may be a statement of negation, but it might also be a statement of a lav, saying that it's also true, but that kedushin are toifas. Tosfos discusses earlier in the Masechta, Rashi and Tosfos discuss this point. Maybe Tosfos says that no, everybody would agree there is a lav involved. The question is whether it also means that kedushin are not toifas, where Rav would say that no, and Shmuel says we're not sure. But everybody would agree, according to Tosfos, that there is in fact a lav involved. So the Gemara says, "Misap gelay the Shmuel." That's just it. Shmuel has a suffix. Hi loisia eishes ames ila lav hu daasa ila tafsi bo kedushin hu daasa. Is it telling us that there's a lav, or is it telling us a statement of negation, a statement of fact that kedushin are not toifas in her? Which again, according to Rashi, Shmuel would say. According to Rav, we would say there's no lav involved at all. Where it's just a statement of fact. Shmuel is saying maybe there's a lav, maybe it's a statement of fact. According to Tosfos, they both agree that there's a lav, and the question is only whether it also means a statement of negation. Okay. Omele Rav Mori Baruch Hu Rav Ashi, Hochi Omer HaMemer, Halacha Kava Say to Shmuel, the Halacha is like Shmuel, and therefore that we have a suffix over here. So if a man were to be Makadish, a Yuvam Lashuk, where she hadn't had Yibur HaChalitza, then it would be a suffix whether the kedushin took effect. So Amar Rav Ashi hashta de Amar Amemer hilchsa kabasei de Shmuel. Now that Amemer has said the halacha is like Shmuel, then the result of that we would understand im hayyavam a koyin. Suppose that the yavam was a koyin. Now let's say she got married. Now let's say, for example, going back to the case of our Mishnah where they tell her your husband died and then your son died, and she went and married thinking that she's potter from yibum. And now it turns out that after all, she needs Yibum. Now, the problem is, if her new husband were to give her a get, she would be posel to the Yavam, because the Yavam is a Kohen. So Rav Ashi says, then what will happen is, the Yavam, the Kohen, should do Chalitza to her, and then she will be mutter, and then she'll be mutter to her new husband. Because after all, the only reason to ask her to him was because she needed chalitza or yibum. Now that chalitza is done, then she's good. However, the Gemara asks, "It guri itgar? Are you telling me then that the new husband gains by that?" Im kein matzinu choyte nisker. Then it comes out, he did something wrong. He married her without the situation being thoroughly checked out. So similar to we had earlier in the parak, where the woman didn't check out thoroughly and make sure that there's only one aid, or even there's two aid, and whatever. The fact is that he's marrying her. He shouldn't have been so quick to do that. So it comes out that he's gaining, that the other guy is giving her chalitza, and now he gets to stay married to her. Rather, Rav Ashi says, "Im hoya yavama Yisrael." No, what it is what's going to happen is if the yavam is Yisrael, noisam l'sheni get behutralai. Then what will happen is the second one has to give her a get, and she'll be mutter to the yavam. She'll be able to do yibum after all, because the fact that in between she was with somebody else is not going to passel her from the yavam. So he doesn't gain. But if the Yavam is a Kohen, then you're right. In fact, the Kohen is not going to be able to do Yibum with her either, because the fact is, at this point, she's a Grusha, and she's going to have, because after all, we have a Suffolk, whether the Kedushin were Tophus, and therefore she says a Grusha me Suffolk, and therefore the Kohen is not going to be able to do Yibum with her. Now, so Rashi is understanding that all of this is talking about where she actually got married. On the other hand, many Rishonim bring that the Gaonim learn that our Gemara is talking about where she only did Kiddushin. Within that itself, Tosfos discusses a couple of possibilities. Do we mean that? So now Tosfos distinguishes between whether the Yavam wants to do Yibum or whether he wants to do Chalitza. So Tosfos says if she only did Kiddushin, Tosfos starts by saying, even though we see, even by an Eishes Ish, we see we don't ask her if she only did Kiddushin. We said she can return to her first husband. So by Yivama, we're not going to make that any stronger. And we're going to say, therefore, that if she only did Kiddushin, so if the Yavam wants to marry her, then we have to get into this question of whether she needs a get from the other one or not. But if he only wants to do Chalitza, then let him do Chalitza and let her stay with the one that was Makadosh her, says Tosfos. And in fact, Tosfos brings a halacha lamaisa of such a case where Rabbeinu Tam allowed. There was a woman who had a Yavam. She didn't know that she had a yavam. She was makat. She was miskadish. And then it turned out that she has a yavam. And since the yavam wasn't going to do yibum anyway, then Rabbeinu Tam allowed them to do chalitza, and then for her to stay with her new husband. On the other hand, Tosfos goes on to discuss. So in that case, Tosfos says, according to that, when the Gemara is asking chote nisker, no, anyway. So Tosfos asks, in that case, what's the choyte nisker? The Gemara is asking over here. The choyte nisker is the fact that we're forcing the Yavam to do chalitza, when after all, on the face of it, the Yavam has the ability to do Yibum if he wants, and yet we're saying, well, that's the thing. But then the other one would have to give her a get, because there's a suffix, whether, yeah. And then if he's a Kohen, he'd be allowed to, that's what we're saying, but only if he's Yisrael. But Tosfos is learning. So again, unlike Rashi, that we're talking about where she actually did Nisuin, Tosfos is learning that there was only Kiddushin over here. Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos is learning that there's only Kiddushin over here. So what we're saying is, the flow of the Gemara would be like this. We're saying that if she only did Kiddushin, then if the Yavam is a Kohen, Cholitz La, then he's required to do Chalitza to her, and then she's mutter to the other guy. And the question is, Guri Itku, isn't he gaining by the fact that he's forcing the Yavam Kohen to do Chalitza when the Yavam may well have wanted to do Yibum instead? And the answer is that no, you're right. What we mean is im hayu yavam Yisrael noisam l'sheni get v'hutraloi, that if the yavam wants to do yibum, then only will only work if he's Yisrael. Then we'll require the other guy to give her a get, and then she'll be mutter to do yibum. But if to begin with, and if it's a kohen, obviously it won't work because then she's a grusha, he's a suffolk grusha. However, if the yavam to begin with, Tosfos learns, Rabbeinu Tam learns that if. Right, they only did, first of all, they only did Kiddushin, and second of all, Tosfos is saying that what the Gemara is saying is if to begin with the Yavam only ever intended to do Chalitza, he never had any intention of doing Yibum with her, then we're not going to force the other guy to give her a get. Then we'll say, fine, Chalitza will be done, and the other guy can, marry her. Now, there is also, Tosfos also brings a different explanation from the Gaonim that we are also talking about Miskadcha. We're talking about where there was only Kiddushin, but it's not a question of whether he wanted to do Chalitza or whether he wanted to do Yibum. Either way, we're saying that we require him to give her a get, and to leave open the possibility of chalitza or yibum. So there are a few different ways of understanding the situation in our Gemara. So the Gemara goes on. Omer of Gidol, Omer of Chiba, Yosef, Omer Rab, Yivama, Kiddushin Ein Ba, Nisuin Yeshba. With the Yivama, there's no Kiddushin in her, but there is Nisuin. Gemara says, what do you mean? What do you mean? If there's no Kiddushin in her, there can't be any Nisuin. Nisuin follows Kiddushin. So what does Rav mean by that? Ema, so you're right. We have to fix it up. He means Kiddushin v'nisuin ein ba. There's no Kiddushin or Nisuin possible with her, which means, in other words, so now on the face of it, we're talking about as far as the matter of a get, that if she marries a czar on the basis of that they told her that that your husband died and then your son died, and now it turns out that it was the other way around and therefore she needs Yibum. So Rav would be saying that Kiddushin v'nisuin ein ba, which would be, like he said at the top of the Omud, ein Kiddushin tofsin b'yavama. So the fact that this other guy married her or did Kiddushin with her or whatever would have no effect. It would be considered the equivalent of znus. So that's one way of understanding Rav's statement. Another possibility, what does Rav mean by saying the words Nisuin and Nisuin Yeshba? We can keep his original statement intact. He's saying there's no Kiddushin in her, but there is Nisuin in her. What we mean is, in other words, as far as Nisuin, which turned out to be Znus, namely, she married as a Yivama Lashuk, and it turns out that she married thinking that she wasn't a Yivama Lashuk, thinking that she's Mutter, and it turns out that she's also, because she still has a Zika. So therefore we'd be saying that she's also to the Yavam. Rashi points out that the Gemara is going to say what Rav Hamnuna says. So let's see a second. Kedir Rav Hamnuna. So therefore, so Rav will be saying, in other words, in effect, the same as Rav Hamnuna. The Amar Rav Hamnuna Shemeres Yavam Shedzinsa Asur LeYavama. That if a Shemeres Yavam is Mezana, she's also to the Yavama. Well, therefore, Rav would be saying, if she did Nisuin, then in effect she was Mezana. Because after all, it turns out, as Rav said before, the Kiddushin aren't Tophis. Therefore, she's also to a Yavama. Now, Rashi says, when we said before that Rav Ashi said that the second one can give her a get and she's Mutter to the Yavam, that would disagree with the statement of Rav and with the statement of Rav Hamnuna, according to this. On the other hand, again, Tosfos learns that the case before involving Rav Ashi involved Kiddushin, not Nisuin. Tosfos would say they're not necessarily disagreeing. If there was Nisuin, then yeah, it's a more serious thing. But where there's Kiddushin, then we can talk about that she can receive a get from the other guy and she can marry the Yavam. And she can marry the Yavam, or according to Rabbeinu Tam's explanation, that if the Yavam doesn't intend to do Yibum anyway, then he can do Chalitza with her and she can stay with him, whatever. So that's a second possibility what Rav means. He means, so the first possibility is he meant there's no Kiddushin or Nisuin in her because Kiddushin aren't Tophis, and if there's no Kiddushin, there's no Nisuin. The second possibility is we're saying that it means there's no Kiddushin, but there is Nisuin in the sense that if she does Kiddushin, it doesn't answer her to the Yavam, but if she does Nisuin, it does answer her to the Yavam. A third possibility is we can stick to the original version. We say there's no Kiddushin in her, but there is Nisuin in her. Meaning, in other words, that if we allow that when there's Nisuin, she is going to require a get. And the reason, so on the other hand, if there was Kiddushin, she's not going to require a get. For the same reason as we learned previously, that when a woman's husband went overseas and she married and she remarried because of one aid, so we say that if she was Niskadish, she doesn't need a get. But if there was Nisuin, then she does require a get. And we said the other day, the reason why, because otherwise people are going to think that an HSH yotze b'lo get, whereas by Kiddushin, we're not going to worry about that, because by Kiddushin, we're going to say that people are going to realize that it was Kiddushin al Tanai or something. So the same thing, Rav would say, the same thing applies here to Yavama, that only if there was Nisuin are we going to require her to get a get. But if there was Kiddushin, we're not going to require her to get a get. So that's a third way of understanding Rav's statement. Okay, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yannai, going back to what we were discussing, the question of whether Kiddushin or Tophis in a Yavama, where we said that Rav said not and Shmuel said it the Suffolk, Amar Rabbi Yannai, b'chavura nimnu v'gamru, they, in the chavura, meaning when all the chachamim were gathered together, they voted and they decided, in Kiddushin, Tophis in a Yavama, like Rav says. So Rabbi Yechanan says, Rabbi, Rabbi Yana was Rabbi Yechanan's Rebbe. Isn't this stated explicitly in a Mishnah? The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah. Suppose a man says to a woman, right now I'm still a goy, but I'm Makadish you as of now, on that it'll take effect after I become a ger, when kedushin are able to be chal, or la'achas shedis gairi, or you're a goita, but after you become a geyoris, then it'll take effect. So la'achas sheshtachri, la'achas sheshtachri, or he's an eved, or she's a shifcha, and it says it'll take effect after I become free, or you become free, or she's a married woman, and he tells her la'achas sheyomus bailech, tells that the kedushin will take effect after your husband dies, or la'achas shetamos achosech, or after your sister dies, where he's also to marry her as long as her sister is alive, as we're going to discuss in the next parak. Or la'achas sheyachlitz loch yavamich, or after your yavam gives you chalitza. In all those cases, einam kedushes, because it's in effect it's a davar shalai b'olam. And because kedushin on not so much because davar shalai b'olam, kedushin on atoyfaser and something. Yeah, it is because of davar shalai b'olam. Kedushin are not teufis on that point. Well, the Mishnah then says clearly that a yavam l'shuk kedushin are not teufis. So what do you need the chavura to tell us that? Amalei, so Rabbi Yechanan tells him, Rabbi Yanai tells him, you're right, but ilav didlai l'chaspa, if I had not picked up the shard of earthenware, mi mashkachas maganisa tuse, would you have found the pearl underneath it? In other words, you only realize that Mishnah is saying that because I pointed out to you what the Chavura said, and that caused you to understand the Mishnah correctly. As opposed to, now the Gemara is going to go on to discuss, which we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that was another way of understanding that Mishnah. You could say that Mishnah is according to Rabbi Akiva, as we said before, who says the Kedushin on Tofus by Chai Velavin. So according to Rabbi Akiva, therefore, the Kedushin on Tofus, because she's a Yuvam L'Shuk, that doesn't necessarily hold that show that the Chamim would agree with that. But Rabbi Yana is telling Rabbi Yechanan that because I pointed out to you what the Chavura said, that caused you to understand that Mishnah correctly. But if not for that, you would have misunderstood and thought that the Mishnah, maybe as the Gemara is going to next continue, that Rabbi Shlosh Lakish would say it goes according to Rabbi Akiva. An interesting point Tosfos makes, by the way, this expression, Ilabdid Loy Lachaska, is in a couple of other places in Shas. In one of those places, Tosfos points out, it's referred here on the side, is it a usual thing that you pick up earthenware and find pearls underneath it? What kind of figure of speech is that? So Tosfos says, we don't mean actual pieces of earthenware. What we mean is in the ocean, there are in the sea, there are big flat rocks, and sometimes you turn over the rock and you find a pearl underneath it. So therefore, that's the figure of speech came like that. Like you turn over a rock and unexpectedly find a treasure. And here, I turned over the rock for you, and therefore Rabbi Yana is saying to you, is saying to him, you found the treasure, meaning now you understand the Mishnah correctly. Okay, so now we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with this discussion. Yeah.